Welcome back to our deep dive series. Today, we're navigating to a really key stop on the RFT to recovery journey. We're jumping into chapter 7 from the workbook, which is all about mindfulness of breathing. So, the mission today, really understand how your breath can be this incredibly steady anchor in, well, pretty much everything life throws at you.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah, this chapter anchors us, as the workbook says, on the island of grounded mindfulness. Think of it like like finding solid ground inside yourself, you know, a calm space. It ties right into the RFT, recognizing our shared humanity, the difficulties inherent in life, and the breath, it becomes the main tool, the way we meet reality, not fighting it, but meeting it with compassion.
Okay, let's unpack that anchor idea a bit more. The source material uses some beautiful language. It calls the breath beautiful, awe-inspiring, life-giving, magical. It sounds quite profound for something so simple.
It is, but the simplicity is key.
Right. So it's about using this thing that's always there, your breath, to consciously hit pause, to actually observe what's going on inside and out, and then choose a response instead of that knee-jerk reaction we often have.
Exactly. Creating that vital space. And what's really interesting, historically speaking, Gautama, the Buddha, he actually experimented with extremes, found that things like forced breath holding were, well, unskillful. Counterproductive, even.
Okay, so it's not about control in that forceful way.
Not at all. The middle way, as it's called, emphasizes a skillful cultivation, gentle awareness. The instruction is literally breathing mindfully and patiently in and out through your nose. And posture matters, too. An upright, dignified posture. It's not just physical. It sort of signals your intention, your commitment to being awake in that moment.
That distinction feels really important. Skillful cultivation versus forcing it. Because, you know, sometimes just watching the breath can sound maybe too simple, especially when you're dealing with those big, sticky mental habits.
Mm-hmm. But its simplicity and the fact that it's always available, that's precisely its strength. This practice, this breath awareness, it directly confronts what the tradition calls the five hindrances.
Okay, the hindrances, remind us.
Sure. We're talking craving, aversion, the, you know, wanting things or pushing them away, then dullness or sleepiness, restlessness or worry, and finally, doubt. These aren't just ideas. They're those real mental states that cloud judgment, make us feel stuck. Big obstacles to feeling genuinely okay.
Right. So how does breathing tackle those?
By consistently, patiently returning your attention to the breath. Whenever you notice your mind has wandered into one of those states, you're essentially building a kind of mental muscle. You start noticing the craving, for example, is just a sensation, an urge. You observe it instead of automatically acting on it. And in that observation, it starts to lose some of its power.
I see. So the breath becomes like a reference point, a way to interrupt the pattern.
Exactly. A neutral anchor in the storm of thoughts and feelings.
The workbook then mentions some more refined possibilities, like learning to breathe in sensitive to rapture or calming mental fabrication. That sounds advanced.
It can become quite subtle, yes. Calming mental fabrication is about noticing and gently quieting that constant internal chatter. You know, the stories we spin, the anxieties, the replaying of events.
A mental noise generator.
Pretty much. And sensitive to rapture, that refers to a kind of deep, quiet joy or well-being that can naturally arise as the mind settles down through the practice. It's through this really close moment-by-moment observation of the breath, how it feels, its effect, that mindfulness, concentration, and discernment or wisdom, they become, as the text says, inextricably intertwined.
Intertwined, meaning they grow together.
Yes, they support and deepen each other. And that intertwining is what starts to free the mind from its old, unhelpful habits. Reacting less, choosing more, less getting caught in wanting this or hating that.
Okay, so bringing this back to you, the listener, what's the takeaway here? It sounds like by really engaging with your breath, you're essentially cultivating an inner ally.
A powerful internal friend, absolutely.
Yeah.
Always available. As the Buddha pointed out, an untrained mind can feel like an enemy, but a well-trained mind, that's our greatest friend. Through this mindful breathing, you can actually experience for yourself what's called Nirodha, the cessation, the end, of avoidable suffering.
Avoidable suffering, that's key.
Right here, right now. It's about finding a genuine freedom inside, regardless of what's happening outside. So think about it. If just paying attention to your breath can lead to this kind of inner resourcefulness and peace, what new possibilities might open up for you when your breath truly becomes your guide?